This is James Butler of Sex Clock 5, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acra, and it is just about impossible to keep track of the congressional elections in New York this year. There's going to be all kinds of them, primary elections, special elections, general elections, and all the lines have changed. So folks you thought represented you before, like Representative Antonio Delgado, is now becoming lieutenant governor, and all these other people are trying to fill that seat and switch seats because Paul Tonko now doesn't live in the district that he represents. Mark Molinaro is going to run in a district that he doesn't live in. It's all very confusing. We'll find out more about this issue today on the WGXC Morning Show with news reports and an interview with Blair Horner from the New York Public Interest Research Group on the issue. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local better weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood.
On June 17th, three bands come to Tubby's in Kingston. First E, the trio of Jason Sidney Sanford, Thaddeus Zedek, and Gavin McCarthy play rock music. Alive Skull, the renowned 1980s post-punk experimental rock band, is back together and are playing on this show with Upper Wilds, who record for Thrill Jockey and feature multi-instrumentalist songwriter Dan Friel, who's best known for his work in the band Parts and Labor. E, Live Skull, and Upper Wilds play at Tubby's in Kingston June 17th, and you can find out more about this show and many others on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of One Universal Media of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Patricia R. Doxey reports for the Daily Freeman that Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan and Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro will face off in a race for a seat in Congress that will cease to exist after December. They both said on May 17th they will run in a special election for the 19th Congressional District seat once U.S. Representative Antonio Delgado resigns to become Lieutenant Governor. Ryan is a Democrat and from Gardiner. He announced his candidacy in a video posted to social media. Molinaro, a Republican from Red Hook, announced his candidacy in a telephone interview with the Freeman. The 19th Congressional District will no longer exist as currently configured on December 31st. On May 16th, Ryan announced his candidacy for the newly created 18th Congressional District, which now covers much of central and southern Ulster County, all of Orange County, and all but the southeastern portion of Dutchess County. Molinaro announced the very same day that he will run for the newly created 19th Congressional District, a district in which he does not live and includes none of Dutchess County. The U.S. Constitution requires a member of Congress to live in the state, but not necessarily the district they represent. Ryan said he will run in a special election in August, but no special election has yet been called by Governor Kathy Hochul. The timing of a special election is dependent on when Delgado resigns. In order for a special election to be held on August 23rd, the same day congressional and state Senate primary contests will be held, Delgado must resign between May 25th and June 4th. If he resigns outside that time frame, a special election would have to be held on a date separate from the August 23rd primary election. If he fails to resign by June 30th, no special election will be held, and the seat will remain vacant. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Luke Parsnow and Kate Lisa are reporting for State of Politics. On May 16th, the court-appointed special master charged with drawing New York's new congressional and state senate maps released a preliminary draft of the new boundaries the state will have for the next decade. Carnegie Mellon University fellow Jonathan Sarras, as special master, drew lines for the state's 26 House seats, with 15 leaning Democratic, 3 leaning Republican, and 8 falling into the 45-55% competitive rate. The new map splits up 15 counties compared to 34 county splits under the legislature's plan that was struck down in April by the state's highest court for unconstitutional gerrymandering. The biggest changes from the maps drawn by state Democratic lawmakers in February include the 22nd District in central New York and the 19th District in the Hudson Valley. The 19th now extends from Columbia County to Broome County and Cortland County. The district is currently represented by U.S. Representative Antonio Delgado. He has said he will resign and be sworn in as the state's next lieutenant governor, but has not said when. Republican Mark Molinaro, currently the Dutchess County Executive, said May 16th he will continue his campaign for the 19th Congressional District, even though he now lives outside of the new district. The 21st District, currently represented by Republican Elise Stefanik, extends south to include all of Montgomery and Schoharie counties and north to include Saratoga County. Jeff Weiss, senior fellow at the New York Census and Redistricting Institute at New York Law School, said, and I quote, "The map maintains Democratic strongholds in Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, and Albany, and also maintains a southern tier district. Overall, the districts are very compact across the state. The downstate districts are very compact," end quote. Greene and Columbia counties, though, are split from the Capital District and paired off with far-off Binghamton and Ithaca. Mid-Hudson News is reporting the new 18th District now includes Orange County, southern Ulster, and most of Dutchess County. Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan announced on Twitter that he will run for that seat rather than competing for the 19th District, where he had previously entered a primary election. State Senator James Scopus, also a Democrat, tweeted he is, and I quote, "seriously considering," end quote, a run for the new district seat. Republican Colin Schmidt previously announced he was running for this seat and confirmed he still would after the new maps were announced. The new 17th district would encompass much of the lower Hudson Valley, and incumbent Democrat Sean Patrick Maloney will run in that district. Representative Paul Tonko's Amsterdam home is now in Stefanik's 21st district rather than the 20th district he now represents, so he will also be running in a district where he does not live. Republican Liz Joy opposes him in the 20th district. Primaries for U.S. House and state Senate races were pushed back to August 23rd. The primary election for the statewide offices and state assembly races will take place June 28th.
Natasha Von Holdridge reports for Columbia Green Media that Columbia County has reported its first COVID-related deaths in more than 2 months. According to information released by the Columbia County Department of Health, there have been 3 COVID-related deaths during the past 5 days, the first since March 3rd. Quote, all 3 were elderly individuals, unquote, Columbia County Department of Health Director Jack Mabb said. Quote, one was in an assisted living facility, unquote. He said 2 of the 3 had been vaccinated. The first 2 deaths were reported late last week, and the third on May 16th. Columbia County has recorded 144 COVID-19-related deaths since the beginning of the pandemic, with 21 of those deaths occurring in 2022. The county's rate of new COVID-19 cases is in the high-risk category, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Quote, we are in a different place now, even though we're in the high risk, unquote, Mabb said. As of May 16th, the county reported 91 new positive cases, the highest number reported by the department since January. Quote, we ended up with 91, but that's still the highest number that we've had in quite a while, unquote, Mabb said. He said it is unlikely the county's COVID numbers will go down in the near future. Quote, Dr. Fauci this morning was on TV imploring people, please don't think that we're done with this. And I think that's exactly right. People aren't wearing masks. They are not socially distancing. They are going about their business. They're done with it, unquote, he said. Mabb said there are currently 20 county residents hospitalized because of the virus, 1 in the intensive care unit. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Natasha von Holdridge reports for Columbia Green Media that on May 9th, the State Office for Renewable Energy sitting issued its notice of incomplete application for the Shepherd's Run Energy Project in Copeg. Hecate Energy, the developer behind the planned 22-acre, 60-megawatt solar farm, now has to complete a long list of items for approval. Copeg Town Supervisor Jeannie Mettler said, and I quote, on hearing that ORES has marked the application incomplete, the town of Copeg is cautiously optimistic. We are hopeful that this means they will actually require Hecate to make the changes recommended by the working group. The burden is on ORES to convince the town that they are not just a rubber stamp. The state has claimed that ORES will listen to citizens' concerns. Now let them prove it, end quote. Hecate project developer Alex Campbell said, and I quote, I don't have data on how many applications have been deemed incomplete, but we're just going to work through the deficiencies that they found to submit a response, end quote. The proposal for the large solar farm has seen much opposition in Copeg. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that state lawmakers on May 17th moved legislation meant to aid people who have been wrongfully convicted in court, in addition to measures meant to aid immigrant New Yorkers in the legal system. The items are being pushed at the end of the legislative session as lawmakers ponder a potential package of criminal justice law changes. One bill would change how people who have been wrongfully convicted are able to return to court and clear their name based on evidence that was not available to them at trial. The proposal is yet to be voted on by the full Assembly or State Senate. Meanwhile, lawmakers on the Assembly Codes Committee approved a measure intended to ensure immigrant New Yorkers face criminal charges have access to immigration advice. The bill protects immigrants' procedural rights and will prevent wrongful deportations. Having already passed the Senate, it should be brought to a vote immediately in the Assembly so the governor can sign it into law. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
Mid-Hudson News reports that swastikas and racially charged graffiti have been turning up in Hyde Park in Dutchess County. Last week, in the Pine Brook Estates neighborhood, swastikas were spray-painted on the streets, street signs were damaged, and other signs stolen, according to Dutchess County legislator Ben Geller. A Hyde Park Police Department detective is investigating, and police patrols in the area have been increased. Geller said, and I quote, hate has no home in Hyde Park. I am beyond disgusted at the bigotry and repeat vandalism in this neighborhood, end quote. Anyone with information is asked to call the Hyde Park Police Department at 845-229-9340 or email them to hydeparkpolicetips@hydeparkny.us. And you can read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, it will be sunny with a high near 68 degrees. Wednesday night showers are likely, mainly after 5 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 49 degrees. And on Thursday, showers are likely, mainly before 8 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 66 degrees. And Thursday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 52 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
On Wednesday, May 18th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM, including Mayuko Fujina from Saugerties. She will be live in Accra at 11 a.m. with her Mirage Station show. Then at noon, we go live to Catskill, where Spike Priggen has a record shop on Main Street and broadcasts live from there for 2 hours, calling it the Bedazzled Radio Hour with all sorts of rock, pop, soul, and more. At 4 p.m., we're live from Acro with the WGXC Afternoon Show. At 7 p.m., we're live from New York City, simulcasting from WBAI, the Off the Hook Show from the Hacker Quarterly 2600, all about technology. Then at 8 p.m., we're live from Hudson with Rock and Roll High School and Peter McPartland and Anya Kanevskaya. At 10 p.m., we're live from Ulster County with Jeff Economy and the Snack Point Charlie Show. And at midnight, we're live from Ulster County for another 2 hours with Go Go Kitty, simulcast from Radio Kingston, from Peter Aaron on the radio at 90.7 FM WGXC.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On June 17th, three bands come to Tubby's in Kingston. First, E, the trio of Jason Sidney Sanford, Thaddeus Zedek, and Gavin McCarthy play rock music. Live Skull, the renowned 1980s post-punk experimental rock band, is back together and are playing on this show with Upper Wilds, who record for Thrill Jockey and feature multi-instrumentalist songwriter Dan Friel, who's best known for his work in the band Parts and Labor. E, Live Skull, and Upper Wilds play at Tubby's in Kingston June 17th, and you can find out more about this show and many others on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org.
Moments before he's hit with a 40-foot wall of sulfuric acid that will horribly burn everything in its path. Now, that's real acid, so I want to see goggles, people.
My eyes, the goggles do nothing.
It's almost always safety first at the Thingularity Radio program, so don't let that happen to you. Have your questions answered by sending them to catskillmakersinfo@gmail.com and tune in every first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM Acra or anytime at WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, May 18th. Early this morning, the lows range from 41 in Halcott Center to 50 in Saugerties. Soil temperatures average around 58 degrees. And we will have a nice day in store. A sunny morning turning into a cloudy afternoon with a high of 70 degrees happening at 4 p.m. After dark, rain chances enter the area, getting stronger near dawn when temperatures fall to 50 degrees. Rain will be worst tomorrow morning, then lighten up for the afternoon and end by 6 p.m. A high of 69 is expected at 4 p.m. A dry 50 degrees overnight takes us into a windy Friday with a high of 84. Overnight, temperatures fall to 64 degrees. And Saturday will be hot with highs in the low 90s and a typically stormy summer-like afternoon. Sunday looks more spring-like with another stormy afternoon and highs in the 80s. Pollen levels for today will be high. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 5 a.m., low tide at 12:07 p.m., high tide again at 5:42 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 67 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:56 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:28 a.m. Looking way up, we see flare activity is up as sunspots roil and dance across the sun's surface today. Plasma stream impacts are expected on Friday. Solar wind speed is currently 471 kilometers per second at 3.3 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible. AM radio might be okay. Overnight, it will be fair below 8 megahertz. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 153. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of SJ of Great Barrington, Massachusetts. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I am Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
Come listen to Catskill Cabin Getaway on WGXC Acre 90.7 FM.
That's the third Thursday each month.
Or you can listen to our podcasts. Just go to WGXC/something.
It's Catskill Cabin Getaway, I guess. I don't know. Let's check it out.
Are you tired of your flying saucer always breaking down on your way to Mars?
Wish you could get more bang for your whoopee at the gas pump?
Well, here at Flying Saucer Mart, we have the perfect flying saucer for you.
It goes as fast as light. It comes in a variety of colors and only costs you 75 whoopee.
Come down to 375 Bionic Ave in Pluto City and fly home with a new used flying saucer today.
Now let's get right on down to the skit. A baby is brought into a world of pits. And if we could have talked that soon in a delivery room, it would have asked the nurse for a hit. The reason for this? The mother is a jerk. Excuse me, junkie, which brought the work of the old into a new life. What a way. But this what a way has been a way of today. Anyway, push couldn't shove me to understand a path to a basic. Cause Schumann should have raced it in the first wave. Cause second wave from believers and believers will walk to it then, even talk to it and say. None of that. Tell him what to say, Mace. The truth, so bear my witness.
Flying like birds of a feather, dressed like leather. You don't want to wear it. No need to ask that question. Just don't mention. You know what the answer is. Now, I never fancy Nancy, but the statement she made held a plate of weight. I even stressed it to wait. Did he take any heed? Nah, the boy was hooked. You could phrase the word base, and the kid just shook. In his fashion class, once ate now and left. The rock moves him now. The only designs left were once clothes made for Oshkosh has converted to nothing but stonewash. Now, hopping in a barrel is a barrel of fun, but don't hop in if you want to be down, son, because down can mean down and out is an action. What does it lead to? Dumb, 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 dumb. People say, what have I done for all my years? My tears show my hard-earned work. I heard shoving is worse than pushing, but I'd rather know a shover than a pusher, because a pusher's a jerk. With a rod of insanity. Is it a chant that slant the soul to feel for it? I know it's the border that flaunts the order to kill for it. Standing, scheming on a young one, thinking this time eight balls for a cool, cool player. Racked it all, tried to break, missed two, got beat by the boy in blue. Next day you're out by the spot once more. Looking hard for a crack in a hole, I asked what's the fix for the ill stuff. Word to the D-roll, the answer should have been no. Run me a score from the funky four plus one more.
It's the joy.
Rewind that back. This is the age for a new stage of fiend. Watch how the zombies scream, it's the crack. Plain as plain, they should have slain it from the start. Behind the ideals of cranking up the heart. Now the bass claims shop over every part.
It has been very difficult to keep up with the summer's elections. There are special elections, there are primary elections, and then there's the general election in November for Congress. And there's many people running or not running or switching districts or moving to a different place. Latest is Democrat Josh Riley switched where he is running for Congress on May 15th, just after the district maps were announced. Syracuse.com reports. Riley, born and raised in Endicott, just west of Binghamton, was going to run in the 22nd District, but the lines shifted May 15th when the court-appointed special master released new maps for the state's congressional district. Instead, Riley is going to run in the 19th District, which now stretches from Columbia and Greene counties east through Binghamton and Ithaca to Tompkins County. Riley says he has experience as Representative Maurice Hinchey's staff assistant and worked on unemployment insurance at the United States Department of Labor before going to law school. He's also been a law clerk for Judge Kim Wardlaw on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit in California and as general counsel to U.S. Senator Al Franken on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Riley, though, will have one of the oddest election seasons ever. Delgado is expected to resign soon, as Governor Kathy Hochul recently picked him to be her lieutenant. Depending on when Delgado resigns, there will be a special election on August 23rd, or thereabouts, for the seat in the old district between Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan, a Democrat, and Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro, a Republican. Riley could be in a primary election for the new district seat on the same day. Then Ryan will run for the 18th congressional district seat in November. And if Riley makes it to the general election, he will face a Republican, most likely Molinaro, who could be an incumbent by then. Our friends at WOOC in Troy have more on the congressional districts and redistricting that was announced this week. They talked to Blair Horner from the New York Public Interest Research Group.
We're joined by Blair Horner, the executive director of NYPIRG. We've asked
Blair to come back on to talk about the redistricting maps for both Congress and for United States Senate, which were released here in New York State on Monday. Most of the attention being focused on the congressional races. The Democrats have been accused of gerrymandering. It really drawn the lines in the legislature to favor Democrats in the congressional race. And in the new lines, while 15 of the races do, you know, lean Democrat, three elect lean Republican, eight are considered competitive. So, Blair, you know, what's your sort of reaction to what this special master has put forth in the redrawing of the lines?
Well, thanks for having me. It's an astonishing change in the maps. There are now longtime incumbent members, for example, Representatives Nadler and Maloney in Manhattan, who are now in the same district, and live in the same district. And so, and there are implications, there are similar issues like that across us. I believe Representative Tonko now lives in Representative Stefanik's district, or at least their districts overlap, the old districts. Right. So it's going to be, there's all sorts of potential changes that could occur. There are new people now that want to run for Congress. So it's really thrown New York politics, congressional district line politics, out the window. And we're going to see what happens. I mean, again, these maps are only drafted by the special master. The court still has to approve them. And there'll be some public process going into that decision. But people expect the lines to stay more or less along the lines that the special master drew them.
Now, one thing I do point out is that technically there are no residency requirements to run for Congress as long as you're a resident of the state. And so, for instance, Paul Tonko has indicated that he will run in the district that includes Albany, Schenectady, and Troy, regardless of whether or not his home, you know, in Amsterdam is included. Now, I believe on Friday, the judge sort of, you know, signs off on this. What are the chances that the higher courts, which, you know, it was the Court of Appeals that, you know, made the final decision that the lines had to be redrawn, any chance that the final, you know, Court of Appeals will make the decision, or they likely just say, we handed it to the judge. He did an adequate job. That's it.
Well, I would think that it's more likely to be the latter than the former, but you never know, right? There may be aspects of this. There have been charges raised that this is having a discriminatory impact. And so this is clearly uncharted waters, because the provision of the state constitution that's driving this about the congressional seats and the state Senate seats is new. And this is the first time it's being tested legally. So what the courts decide to do, of course, is, I think, is anyone's guess. But the whole point of this was to appoint a special master who was an expert, have him in this case draw the lines and then sort of sign off on them. So I think it's more likely that little will change than a lot when they actually meet and decide what they're going to do.
Now, and drawing the lines, you know, the general goal is that the population should be, you know, relatively the same. Obviously, the Court of Appeals did not like the fact that the lines were pretty clearly drawn to favor electing as many Democrats as possible. But also the lines supposed to have some concern about racial demographics. Has any concerns been raised about how this breaks down in terms of representation of minority voters and candidates in Congress?
Yeah, the answer is yes. I mean, the charges have been leveled that it is having a discriminatory impact and breaking up communities in that way. I've not seen the data behind that, so it's hard to know for sure if those charges are fair, if it's just, you know, blowing smoke in terms of trying to get people to get excited about the new lines. The special master shouldn't have had an axe to grind. I mean, it's just somebody from Pennsylvania who's an expert in this, who teaches at, I believe, the University of Pittsburgh. It might have been University of Pennsylvania, but an expert in this field. And, you know, he didn't have any particular axe to grind. So the lines, I suppose, should be taking all of those things in consideration. But the charges have been made. And they will come up, I assume, in the final length, you know, the final procedures on this, as the public gets a chance to weigh in and the court decides what it wants to do.
Now, the court has basically moved the primary date for the Senate and for Congress to August 23rd. The existing statewide primary for governor, United States Senate, et cetera, remains on June 28th, as well as the state assembly, though there now is increased efforts to try to also throw out the assembly lines. But the judge in the main case has said, well, it's too late to deal with that. What's the legislature doing about this, if anything, you know, and is there any possibility in the last 2 weeks that they try to move all the primaries to August 23rd rather than spending all the money to have two separate primaries?
Well, I mean, that's clearly a topic for discussion. And I think the legislature is still waiting for the dust to completely settle on the maps to figure out what they want to do. In terms of the primaries, you're right, though. It's, you know, tens of millions of dollars twice instead of once for primaries to be run in New York. And, you know, there's everyone has different political calculations as to whether or not they'd like it sooner as compared to later. I think there'll be a lot of pressure to merge the primary dates. But as far as I can tell, at least as we speak now, there certainly is no consensus among the governor and the legislative leaders to do so. And so I would not be surprised if there are special elections for the congressional seats. Congressional Representative Delgado is supposed to become lieutenant governor. Congressional Representative Reed out in the Rochester area has resigned. So that creates special elections, plus two primaries, plus the general, all in the next, you know, 6 months.
Now, switching to a different topic, unfortunately, the initial founder, I guess, almost executive director of NYPERG, Donald Ross, recently, passed away. What is your thoughts of about Donald and his role in building NYPERG?
Well, Donald Ross was one of the original Nader Raiders, and it was his idea to try to harness the activism, idealism, and energy of college students, to harness that energy and to get involved in civic life in a broader way beyond the college campuses. The public interest research groups of the institutions that came out of that, including New York Public Interest Research Group, which Donald became the first executive director of in 1973, 50 years ago. So Donald played a key role. In a sense, he was a political builder. He worked with NYPERG, then moved on, and he's done a lot of different things with a lot of different organizations. We put together a list of about 30 to 40 organizations that he helped create during his professional career. And so he's been involved in a lot of things. He's built a lot of different organizations, created a lot of networks, has left an incredible legacy that the rest of us have to, you know, sort of step up to now.
Well, you mentioned 50 years. So I imagine NYPERG will have some type of 50th anniversary celebration. And I also understand those young people out there looking for a summer job that NYPERG's actually reopening its campus this summer after the shutdown due to COVID.
That's exactly right. Grassroots activism is back in business at NYPERG. You're right. We'll be having a 50th anniversary probably sometime next year, and we'll be we're involved in trying to organize some sort of appropriate event for to celebrate Donald's life sometime this fall.
You mentioned all the various events that Donald have been involved with, the organizations he helped start. One of the issues that I remember from him, you know, early on was, you know, fighting, nuclear power. He was the lead organizer in the 200,000 person No Nukes rally in New York City in 1979. I imagine the nuclear power in the last 30 seconds still a major NYPERG concern.
Yes, it is. They haven't figured out what to do about the waste. And that's a big problem. It's a very expensive way to boil water and dangerous.
Okay. Blair Horner, Executive Director of NYPERG, NYPERG.org, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Don't you ever leave me sad and blue. Don't you ever tell me we are
got through. Don't you ever hurt me if you do. Everything they're saying will be true. People say
I'm Tom Rowe from Wave Farm with the Daily Radio News. Radio World reports that at its May 19th meeting, the Federal Communications Commission is set to allow FM broadcasters to use computer modeling software for their directional antenna. Currently, FM radio stations use directional antennas must provide physical measurements to verify their directional pattern. So stations or more often antenna manufacturers have to build a full-size mock-up of the antenna or a scale model, which is very expensive. WGXC, for instance, needs a directional antenna for a signal that is sandwiched between the Christian station WPGL north of Schenectady and New York City's WFUV and hemmed in by the Catskill and Berkshire Mountains. But technology has improved since WGXC first went on the air in 2011, and after this proposal is approved, stations can instead submit computer-generated proofs of FM directional antenna patterns instead of the more expensive models. FCC Chair Jessica Rosenworkel said that this draft order would, quote, decrease regulatory costs and bring our FM regulations in line with other broadcast services, unquote. Read more about this story at Radio World and go to the wavefarm.org website for more radio news. Here's 2020 new music from Matmos. The song is called Adam's Apple from the album The Consuming Flame, Open Exercises in Group Form.
Thank you. story of two childhood sweethearts, inseparable. To one broke the other one's heart. She wants to leave him, but I would die first. Baby, don't leave me. I didn't mean to hurt you. By heaven, I swear. I am a witness for the prosecution of a heinous love affair. Nothing but I always want you to be there. Mama, I swear I love you. I always had. In school, I once traded chairs. I couldn't feel you if I couldn't be near you. I wanted what was yours. Now I just want you to care. Yes, I am. I didn't mean to hurt you, baby. Oh, no, I wouldn't even dare. Yeah. I am a witness. Witness.
Witness of the prosecution.
Witness
of the prosecution. Witness of the prosecution. The prosecution of hating this love affair. I swear. Yeah.
time I think twice to myself. Am I having the time of my life? Am I too much for you and hardly anyone to me? Am I only here half of the time? I'm half off today. Can you turn me